Welcome everyone to the Ignite Your Glow Ministry. This is being presented by Jessica Harris. Today's episode is launching season number 4 for May 7th of 2024. And our conversation is going to be all about being redefined in the wilderness. Everyone's refining process in the wilderness looks different. And it is important to not compare one person's journey unto another. In that, there are many valuable lessons that we can all take note from, whether that is the gift of repentance, understanding the power of forgiveness, or knowing how to walk away when God says to let go. In everyone's journey, there is a story about how much God loves them and has saved him by his grace. Listen, there is so much that we are unable to boast about when it comes to ourselves, and we are going to read more about that right now in Ephesians chapter 2. This is coming in from the King James Version. And it says, "And you, have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked away, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature of children of wrath, even as others. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, and by grace you are saved, and he has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus Yeshua, that in the ages that are to come, that he may show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus Yeshua. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God." And I want to repeat that. "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God, not of the works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Yeshua unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." It reminds me of the scripture. I believe it's Psalms 139:14. I'm going to look it up right now. Yes, because it says that "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well." Let's continue. Listen, the wilderness isn't something that I honestly knew about too much at the beginning of my journey, but it was something that the Lord placed me in. I didn't realize all the things that I had been experiencing that was taking place around me, from job loss and this, that, and the third, and so many pieces of my life that appeared to be crumbling, was really God's way of making room for new beginnings. Yes, even him building a new relationship with me within him, that was all needed. And I had to go through processing, because the only way that I could truly be able to embrace and accept the new thing that the Lord was doing with me, there had to be some removing of impurities. There had to be some undoing of old mindsets. There had to be a lot of undoing of some outdated habits and so much more. Yes, y'all, from just a lot of different things, you guys. people in general, right? They may have habits of like arguing. They may have habits of like gossiping and all of these things as an example, right? So we want to think about some of the habits that we do. Maybe we don't do them knowingly, or maybe we don't take into account that what we are doing is displeasing to God. Well, when you begin to learn more about who God is and building your relationship with Him, He begins to show you more of the things that are acceptable and what things are unacceptable. It's like when you get to know a person, you begin to learn their likes and you begin to learn their dislikes. Well, if a person is telling you something that they don't like, you're gonna most likely try to do not do those things, essentially, right? You're not gonna keep, tapping on a person's shoulder if they're telling you to stop, right? Because it gets annoying, it gets frustrating, right? Especially when they've told you over and over again. I feel like it's something similar when it comes to that concept. You want to think about it. Let's look at it from a different angle, right? If God has made it very clear in His word, gossiping is what comes to mind. So when God tells us that we shouldn't gossip, it's easy to fall into that trap in a sense of gossiping when you're talking to other people about another person, right? Because you're thinking that it's harmless, or maybe you're thinking that you're making some harmless observations. The thing is this, when you're gossiping about that person, God is telling you that that is a displeasing manner of which you are acting in. He is telling you that that is something that is not obedient unto His word. So we have to begin to do a self-examination. Are the things that are coming out of our mouths, are they pure? Are they of light? Are they building someone's character? Or are the words that being used, are they degrading that person? Are they tearing that person down instead? Are they tempting that person to do more evil and more harm than good? Are we causing a person to sin because of the things and the acts of our own personal natures? We have to begin to assess that everything that we do, we have to be accounted for by God. God looks at everyone's actions and He says that we must take responsibility for each and every person's own separate actions, regardless of their age. So that means if you have children, they are responsible for what they do, regardless of their age. If you are an old person and you're in your 90s, you are responsible for what you do at your age. Innocence is something that, yes, God is looking for, hence why we go into repentance, hence why we learn the behaviors of what we should do. And that's why, if you're, for example, ooh, let's see, if you bear with me a second, you guys, because I want to make sure that I get this example right in the ways in which it is needed to be said. If you are someone who wants to really go ahead and get things in order when it comes to your actions, you want to be someone who is setting an example by doing things properly. So when you begin to not do certain things or not say certain things or not act in certain ways, you also begin to show those actions unto those that are around you, right? So if I think about kids in a classroom, oftentimes you'll hear a teacher talk about a role model student, right? From that student who has their hands folded on their desk and they're listening to the teacher and they're doing all the things properly. And I remember I would hear a teacher say to another, like, you guys, look at Marcus or look at Mark or look at John or look at Susie or look at Sally or look at whomever, right? They're being a role model right now. They're being a good student right now. Can you guys example that behavior? That is the same thing with Christ. Christ has given us an example of the behavior that we are to follow. He has given us structure. He has given us systems. He has given us instructions on how we should be behaving, on how we should be acting, on how we should be going forth. But if we are not taking the time to learn His instructions, to learn His ways, right, the Lord teaches us His ways and His word. And as we begin to dive deeper into the word of God, and as we grow closer with the Lord and build our relationship with Him, He begins even to reveal more mysteries of His personality. and of his character. There are things that you may do today that you thought were okay because maybe it has been accepted by society's norms, but in the eyes of God, it may not be acceptable. You're not going to necessarily know that just yet unless you have that relationship with God. By building that relationship with him, by learning more about him, by reading, by praying, by spending time, by meditating on his word day and night, by showing yourself approved. That is what the word tells us. He tells us that his people perish for a lack of knowledge, according to Hosea 4:6. And it's not because the knowledge isn't there, but it's because people reject the knowledge of God. We have to look at the Bible as a full component, not only looking at something from the Old Testament or only looking at God from the New Testament, but we must understand that God is the same God right now as who he was from the beginning, as who he is today, as who he will be forevermore. He is the same God. He doesn't change. So we have to understand the characteristics of who he is. And the chapters that come to mind about really understanding the character of God is looking at the Gospels of Matthew, of Luke, of Mark, of John, really understanding what it is that he is saying and how he does so. Paying attention really to the words that are in red as well, right? Because we know the Vamma that is when the Lord is speaking. Pay attention to what is being said. Pay attention into the mannerisms, right? He tells us in his word a lot. The word is charity. He tells us to love, to walk in love. He has been expressing that so much over the last few years, at least to me for sure. And I'm pretty sure to many way well before that, hands down, right? Because the Bible's been written, a long time ago. But anyways, there is such a connotation as that he says that regardless of what takes place, regardless of how things happen, regardless of the iniquities of those around us, sinners and all, we must continue to walk in the love of God. We must continue to hold on to our faith. We must continue to understand that God is the representation of love, and that love of the Lord also lives and dwells inside of us as well. But how can we go forth in this world doing the works of God if we are not doing it in the love of God? How can we then say that we are proclaiming his name but not embodying the full characteristics of him as well? Hypocrisy is what comes to mind. We can't sit there and say one thing but then do another. That is being a hypocrite. And that, the Mamavi. That is it. Okay, we're gonna look for the definition. We're gonna define hypocrisy. Listen, sometimes we just gotta understand that there may be habits and things that we're used to that isn't quite orderly, not in the structure, the ways of the Lord. If we look at the word hypocrisy, hypocrisy is the practice of claiming to have moral standards of belief to which one's own behavior does not conform. Or there's a pretense to it, a situation where someone may pretend to believe something that they don't really believe is another example of it. There's another one here. Let me see. A hypocrite is a person who puts on false appearances of virtue or religion, or they act in contradiction to this, right? So maybe they say one thing, but then they're doing something entirely different. It's hypocrisy. It's being a hypocrite. And no, that's not to slander. No, that's not to cause an accusation unto, but it's understanding that that is why the importance of why we must examine ourselves is so important first. Because we don't want to go around and be like, oh, you're a hypocrite, da 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 da. Like, no, that's not what we're doing. No. We want to bring forth correction, but when we bring forth correction, we do so in love. When you correct, you do it in love. When we look at the way that Yeshua was correcting, he always did it in love. He always brought it back to the word. He always brought it back in a way where he would explain what it was. And just as he told his disciples when it came to parables, he's like, here are the parables, but those essentially who are not in my fold will not fully understand. But those who are will understand what it is that he is saying. He would take the time then to break those back down. All right, and I'm gonna go ahead and continue. with this part, with the rest of the post. And it continues to say that God had to get me into a place where I had to begin seeking Him more than the ways in which I saw other people. And that's not just something that He was doing with me. This is something that He wants for each and every single one of His children. He wants His children to seek Him further as they build their relationships with God. He wants to be able to refine each and every single one of His sheep. Why? Because He is preparing us for the coming of the Lord. Come on now. We are a bride unto the Lord. And a bride, when she gets married, she is in all white. She is dressed up. She is pretty. She is like, I want to use the word flawless. I know that we, you know, we still live in this world, but I want to use that term because when I see a bride in a magazine, essentially she looks flawless. And I believe that is the way that God wants us to be, free from sin and impurities and all that yucky, mucky stuff, right? That was not ever supposed to be a part of us. But unfortunately, we either walked into it, we was born into it, we dove into it, whatever the case may be. Listen, everybody's journey is different, and I'm not here to judge. I'm simply here to bring forth an understanding that a self-examination is necessary for everyone. And I am not excluded from that. That is why the word tells us that we are to examine ourselves daily. Examine what you are saying. Examine how you are behaving. Examine the very things of which you are doing. But let me not get off track. Let me keep reading right quick. Anyways, the Lord wants to blot out our transgressions. That's literally what the word says, that He blots out our sins, because sin is a really stinky smell to God, right? And who wants to smell something stinky? Not me. I'm pretty sure you don't either, right? So that being said, when we give praise unto the Lord, praises are a very sweet smelling aroma. But in order for God to catch that smell, we want to step out of the sin that we're in. We want to come into repentance unto the Lord. And that means a deep repentance. Sometimes when I when he first recaptivated my heart, because yeah, it was a recaptivating for sure, rededication back to the Lord. Yes, like a prodigal, right? Who returns back to God. Yes, like a prodigal returning back to God. When I rededicated my life back to the Lord, I would do like the simple, like, I repent, you know, of my sins, X, Y, and Z, like my thoughts, words, actions, etc. And I remember there was a moment where God had me understanding that it wasn't just repenting of like that part, but that there was actually some unforgiveness in my heart. I didn't realize that there was people in my life currently at that time that I had not forgiven. I thought I forgave them. I think I had said it out loud, like to myself, like, well, I forgive them. I'm cool. I'm good. I'm all set. And God made it very clear that there was unforgiveness there, and that unforgiveness was actually hardening my heart towards that person because of things they may have done in the past, whether they even knew that they even did it, because there was things that I didn't even realize I was holding on to bitterness about. Bitterness was starting to grow a root inside of me. I didn't even realize that. I thought that I was okay because I was able to talk to them. I was able to say hi to them. I was able to, you know, have regular conversations with them because I saw them all the time. So I was having fluid conversations, not realizing that there was hurt inside of me that had taken place, not realizing that whatever situation that had happened prior, I think in this case, it may have been a situation that happened like maybe like a year earlier or like a few months earlier, whatever the case was, right? Because of that situation, it caused my heart to become hard, not in a way that I knew about it, but in the way that God saw it. He saw that my heart had been hardened. He saw that there was areas there where forgiveness was needed. He saw that my heart needed to be softened. He saw that things needed to be changed and uprooted out of me. He saw what I could not see. And I thank you, God, for that. Yes, blind spots. Ask the Lord to check your blind spots, because just like a person who drives a vehicle, we can't see everything. We can't see 360 degree view. We can't, right? It's impossible.
It's truly impossible to be driving straight and see 360 degrees. You can't. There's blind spots when you're driving. So oftentimes we are either relying upon our notions or we're relying upon some side mirrors, right, to kind of help us in that navigation of switching lanes. But we're not always 100% confident that there's nothing there. Something could be too low. Something could be just out of range, right, for us to see. And if it's too low, you're not going to see it. If it's out of range, you're not going to see it. The same thing in our hearts. If we don't realize that there's like a speck or a dust or a little like ant-sized piece of like unforgiveness inside of us, we may not realize that that little speck, that little dust will begin to build and it'll form into something really big. And bigger and bigger and bigger until it becomes this really huge rock, right? And then you're trying to figure out why every single time you see this person and you're just annoyed and you're just angry and you're just frustrated and you don't get it. And you're looking like, huh? Why am I so mad at this person? They didn't even do anything just now, right? But they just make you mad. There's just something about it because there's some type of unforgiveness and because there's some type of hurt inside of you, because there's something that's inside of you that still needs to be addressed. And this is the time where you surrender it to God. This is the time where you look at God and you're like, God, I don't know why every time this person comes about that there's just this feeling that comes up inside of me. God, can you just take this, Lord God? Can you just go and search my heart right now, Lord God? And can you just, yes, God, we're going to pray into that. So, Lord God, we just thank you, Father God, for this word, Lord God, right now. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunity of being able to come, Father God, before you this morning. I ask right now, Lord God, that you, Father God, will forgive me for my sins, my words, my thoughts, my actions, and any inactions, Father God, and any disobedience, Father God, on this day. And I ask, Lord God, that you will do the same, Father God, unto those, Lord God, that are listening right now, Father God, on this day. That you, Father God, will take the time, Lord God, right now to just search each and every single one of our hearts, Lord God, on this day. We ask right now, Lord God, that you would check our heart postures, Lord God, that you would check our mindsets, Lord God, that you would check the ways in which we operate, Father God. We invite you in, Holy Spirit, right now to just do that heart check, Father God, but not only that, but to also, Father God, soften the areas, Father God, of our hearts right now, where bitterness, Father God, and rage and anger, Father God, and frustrations have tried, Father God, to develop a root inside of your children, Lord God, on this day. I ask right now, Father God, that you will come in, Father God, and that you would minister unto the children of God on this day, that you would call forth, Lord God, your love into each and every one of them, Father God, for you are love, for you are kind, for you are compassionate, Father God, for your love covers a multitude of sins, Lord God. That is you. So I give you praise, Father God, and I just give you thanks right now, Father God, that even those who are carrying hurts and pains from 10 years ago and 20 years ago, Lord God, that you, Father God, have the ability to minister unto them. I call forth right now, Father God, every root, Father God, of unforgiveness, Lord God, to be removed and exposed. May you expose the areas, Father God, where unforgiveness lays hidden in their hearts right now. May you expose, Father God, every hidden area, Father God, that needs to be exposed on this day, Father God. And may you bring it, Father God, up in the mighty name of Yeshua. May you bring the memory, Father God, into remembrance unto them so that it may be surrendered unto you in full, Lord God, and that they, Father God, may receive the full healing of the Lord thy God on this day. I believe by faith, Lord God, that you can heal all, Lord God, that you can deliver all, Lord God, that you can save all. For you already said, Lord God, that we are saved by grace. So may the healing of the Lord thy God come forth on this day. May the healing journeys, Father God, come forth in mighty ways. May the testimonies that are being brewed up right now, Father God, come in ways, Lord God, like never before. And may your children, Father God, be ready and open, Father God, to receiving you. As you are already knocking at the door, according to Revelations, I believe it's in chapter 4. So God, I just give you praise and I just give you thanks and I just say glory to the Most High God on this day. So God, I just thank you. I thank you, Father God, for your love right now. I thank you, Father God, for your kindness, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for your unfailing love. I thank you, Father God, that you're ministering unto the hearts and the minds of your people, Father God, on this day. I thank you, Father God, that you're ministering, Father God, unto each and every one of your children, Father God, around the world on this day. I thank you, Father God, for all, Father God, that has happened. So I just glorify, Father God, and I just magnify your mighty name right now.
And I just say, praise be to the Lord thy God. Praise be unto the King of kings, the Lord of lords. For you are El Shaddai. You are Elohim, Father God, on this day. For you, Father God, are the author and you are the finisher, Father God, of each and every single one of your children's faith, Lord God, on this day. For you are mighty, Father God. For you are worthy, Father God. Hallelujah. For you are delivering your people, Father God, out of sin, Father God, and out of bondage, Father God, on this day. And I just glorify your mighty name, Father God, for you are setting your captives free, free from bondage, Father God, free from sin, Father God, free from any type of things, Father God, that has tried to hold them back, Lord God, on this day. And I just say thank you, Father God, for you are mighty, Father God, for you are worthy, Lord God, for you, Heavenly Father, are able, Father God, to do all things, Father God, on this day. And I just sing praises, Father God, right now unto you, Father God, that victory is the Lord's, victory is yours, Father God, on this day. Hallelujah. In Yeshua's mighty name, Father God, I just surrender, Father God, for there is victory for your people, Father God. May they come, Father God, into a deep repentance unto you, Father God, even now, and allow the victory of the Lord that is already there, that has already been claimed, that has already been established from the beginning of the world to come forth, Lord God, in their ways, Father God, even now. May they receive you, Father God, on this day. God, and I just glorify your mighty name. In Yeshua's name, I pray humbly, and I say amen. Glory to God. All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in today. Also, I have to let you know that our latest book, Redefined in the Wilderness and Emerging as Pure Gold, is currently on sale on our website as an ebook. So yes, it is a digital download that you'll be able to purchase and read right away. This is an invaluable book filled with lessons from my own personal wilderness journey that I have experienced, and I am so excited for you all to read it on this very day. So go ahead, purchase your copy now while it is available on our website, and all the information can be found in the links below.